football on off the ball.
There will inevitably have to be a change this summer. If they win the league, that will have to come tactically from him. If they don't win the league, I suspect it might well come with a change of manager at some point.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Folks, hello and welcome to tonight's Late Night League of Ireland with myself, Shane Keegan, and my co-host, Barry Murphy. Barry, how are you keeping?
Shane, not too bad. Can you hear me okay?
We can. You're under pressure. You're just after bailing out of Tallaght Stadium to jump straight on with a dust of delay. Fair play to you.
Just coming out with the masses, home happy fans coming out of the stadium, although it took a while to get over the line in the end. Waterford put up a decent fight in the second half.
Yeah, sounds like it. Barry, I'll fly down through the results first just to get us going, and then we'll start to jump on with our callers and get your own opinion. So, to run through things, an eventful night yet again in the League of Ireland, that's for sure. Premier Division results, Drogheda with a massive win at home to Sligo Rovers, and two teams down the bottom end of things. Dundalk beaten at home 2-1 by Shelburne, again, big win for Shells. Mayhem up at Eamon DC Park, where Galway United got what I think was a 95th minute equaliser against St. Patrick's Athletic to make it 2-2. Bohemians and Derry, which was the game on Virgin, the one I was watching myself, a 1-1 draw between Bowes and Derry. As we've just said, Barry's on his way out of Tallaght, where he's just seen Shamrock Rovers beating Waterford United by 1-0. In the first division, we had a stalemate 0-0 at Down Town and Kerry, 2-2 with Bray Wanderers at home to Treaty United. The day we thought we mightn't see a defeat in the first division for Cork City 0, Cove Ramblers 1. Massive result for Cove Ramblers. UCD 2, Longford 0, a UCD team that are trucking along superbly. And Wexford with a 2-0 win. The Mikey Rowe show, not for the first time, down at Wexford with a 2-0 win over Finn Harps. So very, very eventful, that's for sure. And Barry, I suppose we'll jump in with yourself at first. I looked at this one and I thought there might be a bit of a tanking on the way for Waterford, but they obviously put up a decent account of themselves. Stephen Bradley will obviously be happy. He's picked up the 3 points, but have they had better performances?
I think we've seen this performance the last couple of weeks against the bottom half teams. I think, Shane, it looked like Rovers are going to run away with it. Graham Burke scores. They look fairly comfortable, Water, but up until the 20-minute mark, playing with three centre-halves, playing a five at the back. Long, John Mann and Hayden Cann playing the three centre-halves. They looked comfortable enough, and then Shamrock Rovers just go up a gear, score the goal through Graham Burke, and it looks like it's going to be 4 or 5. I just thought Waterford looked all over the place. They were on the ropes for the next 5 or 10 minutes. The line was incohesive. They weren't talking to each other. Balls in behind, last-ditch tackles, and it just looked like Rovers were really going to go up through the gears and finish them off. And then, like we've seen over the last couple of weeks, they just haven't been able to do it, haven't killed teams off. And then you come into the latter stages of the games and suddenly Waterford throw everything at them, have a couple of chances. McGinty's got to make a few saves. Pádraig Amann probably had the best two chances of the game, fluffed his lines, very un-Pádraig Amann-like. And you think Waterford might nick something like Dundalk did in the latter stages a couple of weeks ago, and Rovers just about get over the line and go back to the summer of the league.
I was keeping an eye on things. Look, I saw the changes as well. Actually, one I wanted to throw at you was because you don't see Pico coming off too soon. Was there an injury there or anything, Barry, that you noticed?
Yeah, it was a funny one. It was a ball over the top, and it was Conor Carty and Pico, and Carty just stood him up, and Pico went in, and it was as if they both hit the ball at the same time. And about a minute after, Pico just kind of signalled over to the bench, but kept on going. And then, as Rovers tend to do around the 63 minute mark, made a triple substitution, and Pico was one of them, which you don't normally see. Now Adam Matthews came on and filled in at the right back, right centre half position, so they were okay for a couple. Otherwise, but you just don't see that with Pico, and you'd have to wonder, come up to such a big tournament, is he going to be more likely that he's going to take a little bit more precautions coming up to these big games? He's going to look after himself a little more. that's surely got to be in the back of the mind as well. And it's no thing to bring on Lee Grace either, a centre half, and Matthews. And Enda Stevens was my man of the match tonight. I thought he was excellent, set up to go. So they have cover there. So it's about managing those minutes for Pico Lopez.
Yeah. Personnel to be able to make those changes. We'll get our first guest on. Obviously, I was watching on the TV, but let's hear from a fella who most likely was actually in the stand for Bohemians versus Derry. Marty, are you there?
I am, Shane. How's the form?
Not too bad now at all. Yourself?
Ah, great. Well, Midland, I suppose.
Midland, yeah. I suppose the first question to ask is this a point one? Is it 2 points dropped? You know, what's your take on this? And give us your overview of the game, Marty.
I think it's definitely 2 points dropped. I thought we were very, very comfortable in the first half. Probably should have been going up 2 or 3 up, maybe. And the game really turned when Winchester went off, injured almost immediately after half-time. Cameron Dunnigan, come on, who can play as a defensive midfielder, but for some reason Lynch kind of changed to a back five.
Yeah.
And after that, Bowes dominated really for the next 20-30 minutes. Duffy and Debo come on, stretch Bowes a bit. And I wouldn't blame the ref, right, but Jesus, some of the calls there at the end, especially the red card and the handball for Hickey, were really, really poor. Like,
Go ahead for those who weren't watching this game. Explain to people the madness of what we saw with the Patrick Hickey handball. Do your best to give people an image of what happened.
Well, we're getting like friends at home watching and sending pictures into us of him actually catching the ball. Like he put his hand up like totally over his head, shoulder length high, whatever you'd call it. The ball kind of like you couldn't catch it if you tried it. Like, you know, I played basketball for Ireland, lads. That's something you know about El Marty here. I'm 6'6", so I know a little something about catching the ball over my head, but like you couldn't really do that if you tried. But he brought it down and I kind of landed on him, so you can kind of see him running with the ball for 2 seconds. And even the O'Reilly red card was nearly worse. Like, he pulls out a tackle, your man just studs up on him nearly, and he's sent off for that. So. Bit of crazy
business there. Yeah, I did think the O'Reilly one was, it's one of those that when you look at it initially in real time, you're trying to figure out who actually fouled who here, because they both go in full-blooded, but I wouldn't have thought any more than full-blooded. The only thing I'd say on O'Reilly, Marty, is, I mean, how silly was his feckin' first yellow card? You know, when you play in the manner that he does and you're kind of an all-action kind of performance, to pick up a yellow for throwing away the ball is putting you in an awkward position for the rest of the game, isn't it? But on the Patrick Hickey one, Baz, you have to see this. Like, it's and for me, I just can't understand how it's not a straight red card, Marty. I genuinely
Baz would be very proud of that catch, being a goalkeeper. world-class goalkeeping from a centre-back.
And to come literally within 60 seconds of the Derry red card, I was like, well, if the ref needed any excuse whatsoever to even this up in terms of personnel, he's been given the easiest red card he'll ever dish here, because, like, I'm not saying it was a definite goal-scoring chance, but the combination of the circumstances of it, it's the most deliberate of deliberate handballs you'll ever, ever, ever see. Like, it's just ridiculous. As you say, it's like he's playing Gaelic football. And somehow the ref comes up with a yellow. I'd imagine the Derry City support was none too happy.
No, it was fury in the way in, because we always get stuff like that at Daily Mount, in fairness, and normally it's Rob Hennessy, but to see Rob switched around and we got Rob Harvey tonight, who is fond of an old Derry robbery. I don't know if anyone wants to remember when we got knocked out of the cup at the Brandywell last season, the Mark Connolly goal that was chalked off at the end for no reason, stuff like that. So look, anyone called Rob, who was a referee in Ireland, is no friend of mine.
Baz, what do you make of that scoreline? Say, before a ball was kicked tonight, what way were you leaning? I mean, it's you know, Bowes off to a fantastic start, and things have just, that's what, 7, I think, without a win. Okay, it stops the run of 3 defeats. But were you looking at this one and thinking this was a chance for Bowes to get things back in on the road with a win, or did you fancy Derry to get something from it? Can you hear me, Baz? So you got to be, are you on mute for anything, Bar? Don't know where he's gone on his Marty, so no. But from your point of view, Marty, you felt they should be really going back for more than 3 points this.
Well, you know yourself, like in isolation, like you probably would take a point for a kickoff, even with Bo's form, like, you know, they still have cracking players all over the park. So, but when you saw the first half, you watched it yourself, Derry really should have been a couple of goals up. Bo's were absolutely terrible. And, you know, again, I've been one of the last, as you know yourself, one of the last Derry fans to kind of turn on turning. But I thought tonight that switch of formation at the start of second half, really, like, that's why we're not going up the road of 3 points. So you'd have to take that one on.
And I'd argue, Marty, one of the reasons that Bowes got a point was the switch of formation that they made.
Hello, can you hear me now, Shane?
I got thrown out. Yeah, same as myself. But no, and I was going to say, you just commented on the change of formation. I'd argue one of the reasons Bowes got a point out of this was they actually made their switch of formation did work for them, didn't it? You know, the taking off of Douglas Taylor and bringing on Rossi and going to I think they went to three at the back as well, and that it did seem to swing the balance, didn't it? Like, I just saw Rossi actually got man of the match. I mean, how rare is it that a fella comes on at half time and gets man of the match? But he did have that much of an impact on the game, didn't he?
Yeah, he was great. But again, like, if you're dominating a game, I wouldn't be matching anyone up. Like, that's kind of what Tiernan did, but we should have just kept, like, it was the way we were playing against Rovers last week as well. Like, you know, it was brilliant. You know, it was a Christmas tree. You know, formation very rare, kind of caught Rovers out on the hop. Same again for Bowes tonight. So I don't really, whatever Bowes were doing shouldn't be relevant to us. Like, we should have kept going how we were playing very well. So I was very disappointed.
All the gremlins tonight, unfortunately, folks. Wait till I see if we can get this going again. Okay, Stephen back in studio tells me he can hear me. So we seem to be getting all sorts of Twitter gremlins here tonight at the moment. So we do. Stephen, see if you can help me out here. Barry is trying to get back in. Otherwise, I'm going to be talking to myself, which I'm sure isn't going to be very entertaining for anybody right now. If there is any of our listeners who can jump on and see, now the last two I'm after inviting in, I invited in Anthony and I invited in Toby, and such is Elon Musk and his wonderful Twitter machine that seems to just kick the two boys straight out of the conversation. So if we see what we can do here, bear with me, folks.
Shane, can you hear me?
Hey, good man, Toby. To my rescue.
I'm back.
And Baz. We're both back.
There we are.
Now we just need to resurrect Anthony as well, and we might be getting somewhere, so we might. We'll get there slowly but surely. Toby, did you travel up for the game, Toby? Toby's a Water fan, I should say. Did you get up for the game, Toby?
I did not, but I watched it on TV.
You were watching it online, were you? So Barry's take on it was that you managed to kind of hang in it for a long time and kind of came through a bit of an onslaught, but actually finished quite strong and could have nearly nicked something from it, could you?
I don't know if we really finished strong, if you think about it. Because at the end of the day, we took off two strikers for two midfielders. And it took us still like 10 minutes to go to put on another striker, which is ridiculous in itself. Like, if you're going to take off a striker, put on another striker. Like,
Yeah.
What did you make of the two Porrigammon chances? The touch for the second one was incredible. He just seemed a little bit off it tonight. And the first one, he has a great chance. He bearing down on goals. And the legs just looked a little bit heavy for me. It was early in the game, but time might just be catching up a little bit with Porrig in terms of that, because the finish wasn't quite there.
Look, at the end of the day, Paul Javis is not getting any younger. You know, obviously he's getting older and older year by year. Like it's already, but look, at the end of the day, Abbott is still a good player. It's just the fact that he hasn't had this season, unfortunately.
Yeah, there is. Look, he has been outstanding, Baz, for him for the last few years. That's for sure. I kind of thought there'd nearly be a a passing, not that you'd be writing Podge off by any stretch, but I thought that to a certain extent that there would be a passing of the baton, in that you were expecting big, big things from Tommy Lonergan. And he's done a few good things here and there, but for me, he's the one that they kind of really need to spark into life if they're to go on a bit of a run and try and get themselves out of trouble they're in. But it's going to be tough for them, isn't it?
It is. He wasn't even the go-to tonight, Lonergan. He made two other substitutions. Trey Coyle came on and Wallace came on up top as well, ahead of Tommy Lonergan. So it wasn't as if he was the go-to man after Pádraig Hammond.
Yeah, that probably tells you a lot, all right. So it does. Toby, fair play for jumping on and saving us there.
Thanks, lads.
Fair play to you. Baz, let's see who I can get in here. I think we have Mark, who by a quick look at his Twitter feed here, I think is a Bows man. Are you there, Mark? Can you hear me, Mark? I can see him on our speakers list, but I can't hear him yet. We'll try one more time. Are you there, Mark? No luck with Mark. Okay, we'll move on to Colm. We're flush with Bows people tonight anyway, so we are. Where do we see? Colm, can you hear me? No luck again. We're struggling. Can you still hear me, Baz? We're all getting kicked out. Colm, are you there? Can you hear me, Colm? No, and Baz kicked out again, as he went, we see. Shane Kennedy coming to my rescue. Good man, Shane. Wait till we see if that'll work. Shane, are you able to hear me, Shane, or is Elon Musk kicking you out as well?
Oh, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Fair play to you. Fair play. You.
I'm getting bit off. Well, I'm getting pivoted off X here as well, so I might stop working for me either, so we'll keep it short and sweet.
All things seems to be playing havoc tonight, all right, so it does. But come here, you're a lot happier man tonight.
Ah, yeah, look, one thing I probably should have said was our away from Britain. Yeah, we were solid tonight, yeah, no special teams, and Dickie had a great post in that loop. Anyways, and yeah, we were just solid as the way you'd say. I think, to be fair, we knew what to expect from Dundalk, which kind of helped. And you kind of showed them a bit more respect, kind of waiting home. Picked up on second balls, the organ, they didn't really offer too much. Yeah, it was a professional away performance, if that's what you're going to call it.
Brilliant, yeah. Surely it has to lift the mood around the place. Like, that was badly needed, given the run that you're on. Now, like, from there being a lot of doom and gloom around the place, and as you say, strange situation where the away form is arguably more impressive than the home form. Like, now all of a sudden you're looking at Monday night's game and fancying going to pose a beat, I would think.
Yeah, well, there's no to argue about the away form being better than the home form. That's a given. Yeah. But, yeah, look, to rack up and keep it tight. And now, to be fair, I did criticise Sam Bowen a little bit, not really his fault on Friday, but yeah, tonight is a small pitch and he done really well. He did one plenty of headers, which is kind of what he gives you. But yeah, look, the thing about Charles at the minute is some people say, I'll watch your score prediction. It could be any of the three results, and I don't mean to be sound cliche, but literally, like, we could win the game. Well, we're 2-0 up in a lot of games, we're 2-0 down in a lot of games, and then we're winning 1-0 every now and then. So it can literally be any of the three. Look like a great cup team this year, you know.
That midfield three that you went with tonight, I assume it was a kind of a 3-5-2, was it, Shane? But that, if that's the case, that midfield three of Henry Francis, Lunny, McEnroy, that surely gives you a strong foot in the game.
Yeah, exactly. And those little tiny little details is what killed us in the first game. We played the box, and then tonight we played three centre midfielders, and we kind of picked up a lot more second balls. So yeah, those three, and they kind of complimented each other really well. McEnroy is the engine, and he was brilliant tonight. He was. He didn't really have to play too much football, where when you're at home, you have to get your foot on a bit more. Aboide played well against their two centre halves. And then Harry Wood went off injured, but he looked to be all right. Kind of running a little bit, he didn't go straight under. But I don't know if you've seen the red card incident. Oh, well, what could have been a red card, did you?
No, I haven't seen it. Go on, fill us in.
There was in a bit of scuffle there with Sean Boyd and the big fella off centre-half off Dundalk. I thought a lot of fans wanted a red card. I thought the two of them were just holding each other. And to me, he kind of like flicked an elbow out to get him off. They were kind of arm in arm, but he kind of side by side. But I didn't think it was a red. A lot of people were like, how was not even the yellow? And for me, which is some of the Pat Hickey thing as well, it's either nothing or it's a red card. Like, you can't really give a yellow card for an elbow. So we thought the referee, now we bizarrely booked the two captains for some bizarre reason. But I just love to know, like, people call him a Pat Hickey red card, like, what would it be under? Like, how can you, if he's not denying a goal shot, an opportunity? So I thought the referee got tonight's one right for the, what he thought was an elbow, but I didn't think it was. It was 5 yards away from me.
And it was a bit of a bash with Big Mayo, was it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, the two lads were on the deck, and I think he was trying to get him off him. And he just kind of like, you can see in the clip I've seen, Boydie is actually holding his arm. They're kind of holding each other's arm. And he just kind of like shrugs him off. But for some reason, he booked the captains. I'm not really too sure why. I think Kilduff got sent off at the end. I don't know if you see that.
No, I didn't cop that now. So
yeah, he went in to have a go. I think our young coach. He went in to have a go. I think our young coach, and then Sean Boyd kind of stepped in front of him and was like, "Do you want to cop off someone your own size?" And I think the referee sent him off.
Did he have a good game tonight, Shane? Because big enough call to, I suppose, John Martin is probably your top scorer this year. Is he big enough call to leave him out and go with Boyd as the starter?
Tactically, I'd say it was more just to defend set pieces, a tighter pitch. And if Martin plays on a bigger pitch, he could press more against the Bowes. But yeah, no, Boydie had a good game. He battled well. He kind of held off the centre half. He held off the centre half very well. Yeah, he defended set pieces. He had a good game. What you'd expect. Didn't really have any chances around him.
Okay. And last question, I suppose, a very stupid question, but yet one I feel compelled to ask: How do they turn the away form into a home performance? Like, what's the difference? Like, what are you seeing in terms of the difference between the home and away games?
Well, we're trying to play more on the front foot in the home matches, and obviously, Talk is a lot bigger than a lot of the other away grounds that we've won in. We didn't win in Tala, but we ahead, I think, out there. I just think when you go ahead in certain games, we've been 2-0 up, just keep a bit more tighter. And then when you get back in games, you're behind in, there's no need to bring on go all guns blazing and go for the win. Yeah, it's obviously harder because the pitch is bigger. You're at home, you're expected to go and win. Yeah, I think that's it. And like I said, you're not going to be happy to just win 1-0 at home with this money. Now you probably would, but in the longer term, that's not going to be sustainable, I don't think. You go 2-0 up. We've got 2-0 up with two games at home and we've given them away. But we haven't changed it. So, I don't know, yeah. The home form is definitely obviously a worry. But we've been playing well, though, as well. So, it's just small things. And obviously, set pieces is an absolute killer for us. But we defended them really well tonight.
Yeah, that's for sure. Baz, I think you were back on there. That's a big, big result for Joey. Badly needed this week, wasn't it?
That's a massive result, especially going up there with Dundalk's form at home. And like, I didn't see the game, obviously, but they looked comfortable enough until the last couple of minutes and I could see them. But listen, the weekend I was in, I think there was a lot of managers looking over their shoulder. John's one up in Tala Stadium and Joey's probably another one going up there with a big game on Monday, I think. They really needed 3 points, and to come away with 3 points is a huge result for them.
It is, absolutely. Shane, thanks a million for jumping on and digging me out there.
Cheers, lads. Thanks, man.
Baz might just chat about the big result for Kevin Doherty and Drogheda down at the bottom end of things. Another man who was probably in need of a result, but all the form pointed towards Sligo, but Drogheda just know how to get it done, don't they?
They do. It just it seems as the tide is going one way and they're just able to reverse it. Sonny, that's two huge results in the last couple of weeks. And I'm delighted for Kev with it, with everything that's gone off the pitch. And that seemed to totally derail him with the European situation and then the stuff of late as well. It's been all off the pitch. It's about trying to get it back. And I think the club is at its best when it's linear like that, when everyone's pulling in the same direction. And it looks like things are starting to turn around for him again, thank God.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, they've gone, what was it, 9-8-9 without a win, and then to turn it around with back-to-back victories like that is massive for them. And they have, they have a tough one Monday night, all right, away to Rovers won't make it any easier for them. I suppose I'm looking here. I suppose quick turn to the first division. What do we think? I mean, the mad thing here, Baz, which I was looking at, is like we've kind of been having this kind of laughing a joke conversation. Can Cork City go an entire season without losing a game? They're actually only 3 points ahead of UCD after tonight, so they are. So it's gone from, you know, what should be an absolute cakewalk and something we thought was a foregone conclusion to, UCD have been that good and managed to keep pace with them that as soon as Cork have slipped up, UCD are now breathing down the throat straight away.
Yeah, it's funny, like it's one of the hardest leagues I've ever been in is the first division, because the pressure's all on you. And as a big club, I went down with Rovers and had to fight our way back up. And it's the same with Cork. You've got to get it done at the end of the day. It's all well and good, people saying you've got the best players, but you're going the length and the breadth of the country against really tough teams. Week in, week out, you've got to go and do it. And listen, UCD have always had great players coming through, so they'll put up a threat right to the end. But that's a massive result for Cove to go and beat them tonight. And listen, it's not, you can have one eye on next year and what you're going to do when you get back to the Premier, but it's so hard getting over the line. You know yourself, winning these things.
Yeah, give Ramblers serious local bragging rights, that's for sure. Right, we're going to try another one of our regulars again there. We're going to try Anthony again. Elon was messing around there the last time I tried to get him on. Anthony, can you hear me this time? Not again. Is he going to be again?
Yeah, I can, Shane. Thanks.
Hey, how are you keeping?
There he is.
Anthony,
how are you, lads? How's it going?
We got the Derry angle on this game from Marty. Go on, give us your version of
I'm not too dissimilar to Marty and what he said. Like, I think James Clark was very good tonight for Derry. He was brilliant. The whole game was actually a really good game. Balls weren't great in the first half. They were kind of lacking in a bit of confidence. Am I okay to go ahead and just give my opinion here, lads?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so I thought Derry were very good in the first half. It was an open game. Technically, it was very good. Like, there was a lot of good stuff on display. I don't know if the Dublin Derby's kind of killed the football a little bit with the anxiety around it. But sometimes playing against the likes of a Derry or a Waterford kind of brings out the best in the players, because they don't have that kind of intensity that we're used to. But tonight was a very good game of football. So Derry were excellent in the first half. The kind of isolated throws with the balls went 4-4-2. Sorry. Just for context, so Bowes went 4-4-2 in the first half, and the kind of Shrouds, he's young and immature, so without the ball they doubled up on him, and they got over that side, and there was a couple of balls in the box, and I was kind of going they know what they're doing here, they're gonna squeeze, and then next thing from that very side they got their goal. But they probably should have scored again before half time. It was 38 minutes before when they scored, and they should have gotten another one there. But fairness to Bowers, the second half they were unbelievable, probably the best I've seen them all season. They didn't tack on the goal to win the game, but from a performance point of view, it was unbelievable from Bowers. They were all over the place. They were in and out. They knew what they were doing. It was good. Like, it was really good. It was a really good game of football, lads. If you watch that back, that's some of the best football you're gonna see. Like, the two teams at at the final whistle, the two teams dropped it on his. That lad was unlucky to get sent off. Like, it was very unlucky. And that kind of compacted what he was talking about. Hickey, I was just talking to Dan McDonald there on the way out, and he was kind of going, I never even put it in my report. I was like, no, this is a big thing. Like, this is one of the things that the lads missed. And he was kind of going, look, I think he thought he was offside, so he kind of half caught the ball. I don't know, but going back to the football.
Assumption you could make is that
yeah,
he was offside, your top flag had gone up or something.
Yeah, that's what Dan said. Just thought the flag would have went up, so it was kind of one of them. But look, I thought, to be honest with you, I thought Bowes kind of played the brave card tonight in the sense of they put two up front, they went with Moynihan in midfield. So my take on that is young James McManus went to Sligo. He had a great game last Saturday. I was able to sit at home and watch that game. And I was kind of going, why is Bowes letting him go? And I know a few of the lads were saying that as well. But when you look at what Moynihan comes in tonight, he offers a little bit more. So obviously that's kind of, when the manager I'm looking at, I'm saying Moynihan can offer a little bit more stability in the midfield. And that's exactly what happened tonight. But he went to up front and it was kind of a breath of fresh air just to see something new, and Derry dealt with it. In fairness, they did. Bowes didn't get much off it, but the half balls into the box are falling to Bowes players, so they're able to, it'll take a week or two to get used to it. But it was a nice game of football to be watching. It was kind of something that I know the league have gotten a bit of stick the last few weeks. I know on Alan Cawley's podcast he was saying, like, and I kind of understand where that's coming from. We've had a standard, we need to maintain the standard. The standard has dropped a little bit, but looking at that tonight, you're going, that's a brilliant game of football. That's two teams that are at the top of their game. There's some serious do you know when a game of football is that high standard, you're missing stuff all over the pitch because everything is moving and kind of agile, and you're kind of going, I can't keep up with all the stuff that's going on there. And that's a sign of good football, and you're getting a deep breath at the end of it going, Jesus Christ, that's a great game of football. That's the best compliment they can pay that tonight.
You commented, Anthony, on Strauss, and that there can be a bit of naivety in his playing that. But do you know what he does do? And I think we spoke about it here a week or two ago, is the fact that Colm, I think I compared the way Colm Whelan plays a little bit to Harry Kane, and that he's nearly as good as a 10 as he is as a 9. And what was lacking was that when Colm was coming deep, you were sometimes lacking people going beyond that. I mean, you look at that goal tonight. Strauss makes the apps. Now, I think Colm has a lot to do with it. It's a brilliant ball through by Colm, but he can only play that ball because somebody has made a run in advance and gone into the area that he's come out of. And I thought Strauss made that run brilliantly, and that's what you need more of, isn't it?
Brilliant, Jane. I'm glad you said that. And that's it. But there was a bit of that. There was a bit of, because there's two up there, you have the space, the fullbacks. And I know Derry play a sort of methodical way of playing. And that's kind of, you can do that. When a team plays that methodical, you can kind of set up against them to a certain extent. And that's what Bowes done tonight. And absolutely on point. Whelan dropped in short, the ball came out wide, he took a touch. That happened for 20 minutes in the start of the second half, that Bowes got on top, and that's the way they kind of got back into the game. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a bit of a head scratcher for Rennie. Like, I think Rennie actually deserves huge plaudits from this one, because look, he's obviously decided he's wanted to try and get James Taylor and Colm Whelan into the same lineup. He's got to half time and it's just not working. There was a couple of comments actually passed on Ross Tierney's, you know, body language. Was he unhappy to be left out of the side and stuff like that? But I mean, he's come on at half time and he's been, you know, walk away with a man of the match award on Virgin on the back of a 45-minute performance. A bit of a tweak in the shape when he came on as well. I think, obviously, I suppose with a 10 coming on for a 9, but even more than that, was a kind of suggestion that it nearly started to look more like a back three. It's like they've got so many options. It's a little bit of a headache for when he's trying to figure out what's his best way of getting the most out of this group, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think anyone can be annoyed about not playing at the moment. I think Bowes have been poor lately. I think, like, you can't have an argument about sitting on the bench. It's not as if they're banging in goals. Like, you take the Colly Whelan goals out of it in the start of the season, I think they've struggled for goals up there. They haven't chipped in. Ross Tierney hasn't chipped in with the goals he has in previous seasons. So I think it's no great thing. It's no harm to really leave some of your bigger players on the bench every now and again and just give them a little bit of a rocket. And obviously, it's worked at halftime. He's come on and made the difference as well. It's just, you do look at a Bowes team and you think, Douglas James Taylor plays at his best, I think, when he's got two up top. You look at his time with Drogheda, with Franz Piero up there alongside him. I think they were incredible forces. It's about making chances, and Bowes haven't been doing that in the last couple of games. They haven't scored enough goals, so he's got to change things, and some people are going to have to sit it out. That's just the way it's got to be.
Yeah, Anthony, how are you feeling now heading into Monday evening's game?
Yeah, look, Monday's kind of a... it's kind of one of them. Like, I don't know if you can take on from tonight's performance to go into Monday. So, Shells haven't been great. Bowes haven't been great. What do you get out of a Monday performance? I genuinely don't know. I'd say usual will happen. It'll be super cagey. Both teams will be afraid to lose, and you'll get blood and trust. I think. I don't mean to be smart, but a lot of it'll depend on the referee and how fluid he wants the game to go and how he sets up and dictates how the game will go. That's just my honest opinion, Shane. That's the way I see it. So if you want a stalemate battle from two Dublin teams on a Monday after playing on a Friday, if you've the right referee, he let it flow. Like, I don't know off the top of my head who the referee is, but that's kind of the way I see it. If you get someone like Neil Doyle, he gets his criticism at the best of times, but if you get someone like him, the game will flow. If you don't, you're gonna get a sticky enough game.
Yeah
just saying that, Shane, there was a 28-year-old ref in the game tonight, Keating. I think it was his first match in Talis Stadium. He was absolutely excellent. Let the game go. Yeah, young man, I think he's 28, probably the youngest on the panel, but he was excellent. Just let the game go. Couple of tackles went in, let the game flow, went back and booked people when he needed to, let a couple of tackles go in.
Baz, can I speak to that? So you've mentioned a couple of times on a few different things how the refs are letting the game flow. I've noticed that, and every time you're saying it, I'm screaming at the radio. I'm saying you're absolutely right. There is a different mentality this year to let the game flow a little bit and let us have a little bit of football. You're absolutely right. I said that from the minute the whistle blew. I don't know if there was some sort of meeting or something went on, but you're absolutely right. That's been the brief. From what I've seen from a fan's perspective so far this year, the game is gone. Now, what, just caveat that, what I'm seeing when the game hasn't been flowing is if a referee's not able to keep up with the game and they'll blow the whistle and they'll just give away cheap frees. The cheap frees will always happen, and that's where our game needs to improve. We have top-level athletes at now in all the clubs, and if we don't have the referees to keep up with them, they're going to get a cheap freeze and the game's going to peter out into none. And that's my take on that.
I think the referees, you can only ask the referees to be up to the standard of the players they're playing. I think they come together, and for far too long the referees haven't been up to the standard of the players. I think they're starting to get there. I think their actual knowledge of the game is starting to be a little bit better. It's probably around all the analysis now that everyone's seen. Everyone's getting far more information about games and what it should be. But I just thought the referee tonight, a young fella, stayed up at the pace, was excellent off the ball, was managing situations as the game was going on the other side of the pitch, the stuff that was going on off it. I thought he was excellent. So hopefully, if he was there on Monday for a Dublin derby, he'd be brilliant.
Brilliant.
Just had a quick look at him there. Lucas Keating refereed the FAI Women's Cup final last season. Obviously must have done a good job there and has got a few more high profile games on the back of that. So listen, you're usually only talking about a referee when he's fucked up, so you'll take the opportunity to jump on the positive stuff when it occurs. Anthony, thanks a million for jumping on.
No, thanks lads, fair play to you. You do a great job, thanks.
Super stuff, chat to you later. Mark, we're going to try Mark again. I tried to buzz him in earlier on there and he got cut off. Let me see if we have a bit more success this time round. Can you hear me there, Mark? Hello, Mark. No sign of Mark again. Mark, if you appear, just jump in on top of us. One game we haven't probably touched on, Baz, is the game across in Galway. A late equaliser for Galway United. A cracking strike by Bulger. I saw it there. But that's a big 2 points drop for Pats. They'll be absolutely sick, won't they?
Oh, massive. To go to Galway and score two goals, where not a lot of teams go and do that, you think you're going to get over the line, get the win, especially in the 95th minute. And Bulger, to be fair to him, has been really good for Galway this year. More in a defensive role, isn't he? But I just saw that the Forrester goal. It's a brilliant goal as well. I don't know if you've seen it. The ball, from Joey Anang, a long ball. It's brilliantly laid off to him, and it's a wonderful finish. But Edmonton scoring again, and you think, oh, they're on a bit of a roll now. Can they keep pace with Shamrock Rovers? Then first chance they get to drop off again. You just think, can Pats get to that next level, put a real run of form together? I mean, you just look at Rovers' next games as well. They've got Drogheda on Monday, Sligo and Dundalk as well. You think that's a good run of game for Rovers to pick up points. Pats can't be dropping points when they've got 2-0 leads, certainly not.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, look, Galway are very good at throwing the kitchen sink at it, but you would be hoping that Pats would have been able to have enough control of that game that they didn't give Galway a chance to throw the kitchen sink at it. Like Pats have enough quality in that team that they should be able to make a decent attempt to play and keep ball for the last 5-10 minutes, because as soon as you invite that kind of pressure, if you're lumping long balls at and Walchi and fellas like that and trying to play off breaks, they're excellent at that side of it. So look, I'm sure Stephen will be very disappointed that they didn't manage to show a bit more control there, really, Baz.
Yeah, definitely. You're right, they do have the players, but it's usually a Forrester who comes on and takes control of it in the middle of the park, and you can nearly frustrate teams and get them to kick lumps out of you, win free kicks, buy the time that way and get it over the line. But I don't know, just when you think Pats are suddenly starting to get a bit of form together, they go and throw back in your face a little bit, and you're just hoping they put a real run of form together so that there's a real title challenge coming into the middle of the season.
Yeah, the one that seemed to catch the eye most from there tonight from what I saw, I'm pretty sure he provided the crosses for both goals is Elmazetti. Again, you know, a player who a couple of years ago looked like quite possibly one of the best players in the league, and maybe hasn't quite fully ignited. If they, like, you look at, there's a lot of, the scoreline will obviously be an absolute punch in the gut for them, but on the plus side, it's a pity, it'd be great if we could get a Pats fan on, maybe to give us a little bit more view. We haven't had too many of them actually, so we're probably a little bit more in the dark on Pats than some of the other clubs. But like, it does appear that Elvazetti was excellent tonight, that Forrester was excellent tonight. Guys that they need to be coming back into form. Keane Levy and Edmondson had maybe been carrying them a little bit over recent weeks. So it'll be a good sign for them to see others contribute.
Yes, especially Albazetti, and I think, like, coming into the European games, coming into the middle of the season where it's all about the little bit of quality that wins the games. You can see it with the likes of Rovers. Graham Burke stepped up tonight. You need those quality players in the key moments to go and do that. And listen, they spent money on him as well in terms of wages. He's on good dough there. He needs to start chipping in with it. And then you look at, it can't all be about when he's fit and when Ramal Palmer comes back fit. You've got to do it now. You can't be out of the race by the time they come back and then have a great end of season and things look rosy again. You've got to stay right in there, and those are the results you need to be getting over the line.
Bit of a curveball question here for you, Baz. An Irish squad been named next week that's not in a designated international window, which means we might see a bit more chopping and changing in terms of the personnel that are called in. Look, we might end up with no League of Ireland players in it, but based on where we're at this season and what you've seen over the, whatever we're at, 13 and 14 games, give me three that you think are in the frame.
I think Matt Healy has to be in it for Rovers. I think he's only coming back into a bit of fitness now, so whether he gets that bit of game time going into, will he be exposed to that, whether Rovers will let him go or not, is another thing. I'd love to see Dawson in it. I think he just adds something a little bit different. I think Graham Burke, I know he's a 32-year-old player coming in, but people will say that, and he's playing at a certain level, but he does things that
Ireland don't have. And I think going forward as a national team, you've got to have as many people doing different things to try and get it to the next level. There's no point in having a Malumbi, a Jason Knight, all the same type of players and hoping for different results. We didn't qualify. There's something not right there. You've got to look at alternatives. And in terms of this camp, I think that's where you look at options for if not Benny isn't there to be our outlet. Where's the options there? You've got to have a look at players. And I know Stephen Bradley was talking about Victor Ojemvuna maybe getting a look in. I think it's a little bit too early. I don't know what you think about that, Shane. I think he needs to find a real consistent run of form at Shamrock Rovers before he makes the move across, before he could even look at that international squad. I just don't think he's there at the moment. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you 100%. Look, even just to be honest with you, nearly more so just to protect the young fella. There, look, he's doing brilliantly this year, and he's lighting it up at almost every opportunity. So he is, but he's still extremely young, and you just don't want the hype machine going into hyperbole altogether. So no, look, I'd leave him. Certainly, look at getting him involved in some of the underage sides, and possibly even throwing him in with the oldest of them, throwing him in at 21s level, and seeing how he gets on there. But no, listen, I'd be with you. So you're going Matt Healy, Dawson Devoy. Is there a third?
Yeah, I think Berkey. I'd have him in there. I know he's 32 or whatever age he is, but I just think he offers something that we don't have. Is there someone away from those three you'd have in it?
Look, I think Keane Levy has been eye catching. I think he's done very, very well. Who else has caught the eye? No, look, you're not a million miles off with what you've thrown out there. I'm trying to think, is there any curveballs that go this? McGinty
yeah,
be in the picture?
Yeah, it's a good shout. I think there's no point in, obviously, like the Queeven Kelleher's will be there, Kevin Bazunas will be there. I think you're looking at Josh Keeley coming in from Luton. He's obviously got playoffs to be looking at as well. I think it's a good shout getting that in. I think he's been consistent. He can definitely do a job for them. So, yeah, I wouldn't see why he wouldn't be in the squad.
Super stuff. I think we're a bit quieter on callers, Baz. We're hitting 11 o'clock here anyway, so we'll just have a very quick look forward to what we've got on Monday night. So obviously, short turnaround, another full round of fixtures in the Premier Division this Monday evening. We've got Bohemians at home to Shelburne, Derry City at home to Galway, Shamrock Rovers at home to Drogheda United, Sligo Rovers at home to St. Pat's, and Waterford at home to Dundalk. What catches the eye most there, Baz?
It's a massive game down in Waterford. I think that's a huge one. And judging on tonight, they nearly had one eye on it. I think I kind of said if you got 3 points out of these two games, you'd be absolutely delighted. And I think they've got to go and win. They've got to close the gap. Got to build some sort of momentum and show some sort of life in them. Obviously that Dublin derby. Then I think it's Talkeads in. Is it the Shells and Bows game? That's a massive one as well. That's two managers.
No, sorry, Bows. Sorry, Bows are home. Which is probably a good thing for Shells at the moment.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, taken away from it? But like, I think the other games kind of nearly look after themselves. I think it's Sligo home to Pats, you said, was it? I think you'd expect Pats to get a result, especially after tonight, and Drogheda coming to Shamrock Rovers again. Yeah. It'll be tight again, but I can just see Rovers getting over the line just about. They haven't really put teams away. So yeah, the big ones are probably in Bowes and down in Waterford.
Yeah, that makes sense. Quick look at the first division as well. You've got a cracker there with Cove Ramblers at home to UCD. Cove Ramblers will be absolutely bouncing after that big, massive result tonight. But UCD, the form team in the league. You've got Finn Harps at home to Bray. Kerry at home to Cork City. The Midlands El Clasico with Longford at home to Athlone Town. And Treaty United at home to Wexford. So we'll see how things go across them as well. Baz, fair play for rushing out of town and jumping on for the night.
We got there eventually.
We got there despite Mr. Musk calling us all kinds of problems. So fair play to anybody who stuck with us through the gremlins there tonight. And thanks for everybody who jumped on the call with us as well. Catch you all next week. Good night.
Off the Ball Daily.